We can chat a little bit. I'll have Libby cut the first part out. How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Good.
Good. All right. Well, I can just jump right in and we can start talking about today's coffee break topic, which is older adults and the services that they are or are not receiving. And in particular today, we're going to talk about food stamps. And I wanted to talk about this for a couple of reasons. First, I think that access to resources is a really important thing in our community. I know that communities work really hard to make sure that they have services and supports and other resources in place, and they work really hard to make sure that people know about those services. And yet sometimes we still see these access gaps where people aren't using the services that they're eligible for. And so thinking a little bit more about that and what we can help do about that, I think is an important conversation to just keep having. I'm sure that's a conversation that comes up a lot in communities. The other reason that I wanted to talk about older adults and food stamps is because of a paper that I ran across, which is admittedly a little bit old at this point. It's from 2008. But if you're looking at your handout, I will start by saying that we're not going to follow the handout from top to bottom and front to back this time. I'm going to jump around a little bit. So don't be confused if I'm talking about something that isn't directly in front of you or isn't right under the last thing we were talking about. But if you are looking at the handout, this is the first study that's listed on the bottom of the front page. It's called Falling Through the Social Safety Net: Food stamp use and non-use among older, impoverished Americans. And this study really struck my interest because of a couple, well, there's several reasons why, and I think that I will not spoil my ending by getting to those right away, but I'll kind of talk you through what the study did, and then we can talk about why that piqued my interest. So for this study, they were looking at some data from the American Community Survey, which is a national survey that they do. I think it's biannually. I could have that wrong. But this is from the 2003 edition of the American Community Survey. And they were looking at older adults who are below the poverty line to see to what extent they're accessing the social safety net, in particular food stamps. And they wanted to do a couple of things with this. First, they wanted to just look at what proportion of older adults below the poverty line nationally were actually getting these benefits. And then they wanted to look at why that might be. And to do that, they used a framework. It's the theory, if you're interested in this, is called the Anderson Behavioral Model. But the framework basically posits that in order for people to have access to something, usually it's used in medical care, but it works for services too, there are need factors that influence that, there are predisposing factors, and there are enabling factors. And so let me walk through those a little bit. Predisposing factors are what we typically think of as people's demographic characteristics. So it's things like their age, their gender, how many people are living in their household, their racial or ethnic composition, other factors like that, their income, their education, other factors like that that give some people just a higher likelihood of accessing resources than others. And that might be because of literacy skills, it might be because of time skills, but these are the factors that predispose people to access resources or not. The other two are need and enabling factors. Those need factors basically say, hey, if someone has a higher level of need, they're more likely to access resources, whether that's healthcare or food stamps or something else. And the enabling factors are taking into account the fact that even if you have a high level of need, you still might not be able to access food stamps and or other resources. So enabling factors would be things like level of literacy, access to the internet. If you're already interacting with social services, then you already know how to do it, and you're more likely to be able to access other social services. So, for example, people who are on welfare might be more likely to get food stamps because they are already engaged with the system, and so they have some support in doing that. And so this study looked at those three kinds of factors to try to figure out why it is that some older Americans might not be getting food stamps when they should, or when they're eligible anyway. And to try to sort out whether that's because they don't need food stamps or if it's because they are having other access issues. So this is where I'm going to turn, I think I'm going to turn back to the handout here. So first of all, what they found was that nationally, only 1 in 5 older adults who were below the poverty line were getting food stamps. So that's only 20% of people. That's really, really low. That means that 80% of older adults who are living in poverty nationally were not getting food stamps back in 2003. And I will make it this caveat. This is really old data. The study is almost 10 years old. The data is almost 15 years old. I tried to find an update, and I couldn't find one. So this is the most recent information that I have available. I don't have any evidence to suggest that it would have improved. I mean, maybe it has. I hope it has. But there's nothing to say that it has, that it likely has improved. And so we're probably looking at a number that's somewhere around this, where the vast majority of older adults who are in poverty aren't accessing services that can support them. And this is really problematic because when older adults are facing food insecurity and don't have enough to eat, that impacts a whole slew of outcomes for them. It's associated with any diseases or disabilities that they have getting worse. So if you think about someone who has like chronic heart failure, if they aren't getting enough food or they're not getting the right kinds of food, that's not going to help them live a healthy lifestyle, and that's not going to help them maintain their abilities and keep their disease in check. It's probably going to contribute to their disease worsening more quickly. It's associated with depression. So people who don't have enough food are going to face mental health challenges potentially. It's associated with stress and strain. If people feel like they don't have enough food, that's really stressful. It's also associated with caregiver strain, which makes sense because if the caregiver sees that their care recipient doesn't have enough to eat, that's going to be a huge strain on them. And then they're trying to carry the load of 2 grocery bills instead of just 1 grocery bill. It's associated with an increased likelihood of hospitalization. And it's even been associated with things like earlier death. So these are not minor things, right? Like, we worry about food security in everyone, but in older adults, the margin for error is different because they already have these physical and mental risk factors just because they're older and they're more likely to have existing diseases and disabilities, and it can exacerbate that and cause these bigger problems faster. So this study, after they looked at what proportion of people were getting food stamps and what proportion were not, they then took a look at those predisposing, those need and enabling factors to figure out who is at risk and to figure out which of those categories these things fall into. So let's just start with the generic who's at risk. The first big one is that the oldest old, the people who are 85 years of age and older, were the least likely to get food stamps in the entire group. Around 90% of people who were 85 or older were not getting food stamps. Men were also less likely to get food stamps than women. And people who were isolated were at higher risk. So people who had children in the home were actually more likely to get food stamps. Possibly some of their need factors were higher there. Possibly they had help. People who were getting other services were more likely to get food stamps. But people who didn't have children living with them, people who weren't getting other services, they were at risk for not getting the food stamps that they might have been eligible for. Another interesting fact is that when people had competing costs, so if they had like a mortgage that they were still paying, if they were in a rental facility, they were more likely to get food stamps, probably because they had higher levels of need, because they had other competing costs. So these are some of the factors. The other one, which I didn't put on this list, is that people who were well-educated were also less likely to get food stamps. It's not clear why that would be. It could be related to stigma. It could be that they had wealth that wasn't counted in this survey. So maybe they weren't actually eligible. They were under the poverty line, but because they had other assets, they might not have been eligible. We don't know for sure, but that was another thing that they found, that people who were well-educated were actually less likely to get food stamps based on this one particular study. We don't know if that's if that would be consistent or generalizable or if it actually makes sense, but that's one of the things they found. So if you flip to the next page. So back to these need and enabling factors. We would expect if everything were perfect, that it would be an older adult's level of need, meaning their health and their income status, that would be the most important factor predicting whether they get food stamps or not. In this study, need was a factor, but it wasn't the thing that was making the most difference. This research suggests that it was the enabling characteristics, so their education, their use of other social assistance programs, that were the most predictive of whether they get food stamps or not. And that's concerning because it's suggesting that there are barriers in place that are limiting people's ability to actually access these services outside of their level of need. And it also suggests that that means that there's an opportunity to do more outreach and education, especially among those adults who are the most vulnerable, so those oldest old, the men, the people who are isolated, in order to help them figure out how they can get access and whether they actually want to get access. So then we can move on to talking a little bit about why that might be the case. And this study and then also the other study that I cite on the front page has some suggestions as to why that might be. One thing is that maybe they just don't want food stamps. They might have lower nutritional needs, so maybe they feel like they can get enough food on the income that they have and they don't need food stamps. That's fine. They might just not want to get food stamps. It might be that the amount of money that they would get from the food stamp program isn't worth it to them, isn't worth the hassle of whatever paperwork they have to go through or process they have to go through in order to sign up. That's okay, too. That's their choice. They can choose to do that. The bigger concern is when it's things like lack of knowledge about eligibility. They just don't know that they're eligible. Or if they think that maybe they're eligible, but they have no idea where to start to apply. If they could apply, but they need help with that and they're not getting that help. Those are things that are barriers that can be overcome. They're not choice factors. They're access factors that we can help with. Another study suggested that some older adults might be intimidated by EBT cards, which are the SNAP or the food share cards that looks just like a credit card and you scan it just like a credit card. A lot of states implemented those because it reduces stigma. And when you're in the checkout line, you don't need to, it's not obvious that you're using these resources that some people feel a little bit uncomfortable about using. It's a little bit more subtle. And so that has been, I think most research has shown that has been effective in improving access to these resources because it reduces that stigma. But if there's an older adult who doesn't really get credit cards and doesn't understand how that works, that might be really intimidating. And then there's the factor of stigma that could come in for a lot of people regardless of their age. They don't want to be using social service programs, and so they choose not to. I also reached out to some of the folks over at Foodwise to get their 2 cents on this, and I got a really great suggestion, an email from Gina Monroe. And Gina, I don't know if you're on the call or not, but if you are, thank you. And she had some interesting points as well. So for older adults, if they don't have access to a computer or they don't know how to navigate a computer, that can make it harder for them to apply because they can do these applications online, but not if they don't have internet access and not if they don't know how to use a computer. Some older adults also can't hear well enough to do this over the phone. So if they could apply over the phone or have someone help them apply using a phone call, that might not be possible if they are having hearing problems and can't actually have a functional exchange over the phone to figure that out. I already mentioned this, but if they only qualify for a small amount of assistance, it might not be worth it to them. It might not be worth the hassle of applying and going through the process. And then, of course, they don't know if they qualify, and there may be overall challenges with the application process that could be limiting. So those are some of the things that older adults in our community are facing. I did try to find Wisconsin estimates of this, and I couldn't. It sounds like that's something that food share folks might be working on and getting just a little bit more information about how we can overcome some of these things. But I think that this does this does present some opportunities, not just for school buy folks, but actually for all educators, especially educators who are working with older adults, because there's an opportunity to raise awareness with individuals who are older adults, but then also with people who might be family members of older adults or community partners who might serve older adults. And in the way that I'm thinking about this is raising awareness of things like just saying, hey, did you know that only 80% of older adults who are in poverty are actually getting food stamps? And it might be because they don't know that they're eligible or need help applying. We can make that happen. It could be even just a 5-minute public service announcement in like a lunch and learn or a caregiver cafe or in a strong women program, so that older adults learn about this, but also that the families learn about this. It could be doing a demonstration of an EBT card and what that looks like. And it could be making sure that people are linking through to resources that are helpful for them to help them figure this out and help them apply. And if you look at the website, this isn't on the handout, but on the website itself, there are a couple of resources listed that can be useful, specifically the DHS website, which has a chart of income levels that can be used to determine enrollment, and then applying using the Access website, which, again, if people don't have internet connection, don't have a computer, struggle with using the internet because it's not something that's in their skill set, that can be really hard. But it does give a starting place for sorting through these things. Let me just look at my notes here real quick and see if there's anything else that I feel like I'm missing. So the other opportunity here is knowing that older adults might have these problems, and as educators, knowing what you're seeing in the communities can help with these system-level conversations and educating community partners who might not be aware of these things or might be seeing different patterns. And so sharing those patterns and sharing this information can be useful. So that's my monologue part. I want to open this up for discussion. Is this something that you all already knew? Do you feel like you can see a role for yourselves in making sure that other people know about this, too? Tell me your thoughts on this.
This is Renee from Washington County. I was surprised about the percentage. I knew mm-hmm. it was high, but I didn't know it was that high. Just wondering about ADRC, basically. It's ADRC in every county of the state, and they could offer assistance for anybody that needs help to apply, correct?
So I think that's correct. I know that's correct for a lot of other services. I don't know about food stamp services in particular. And I keep using the word food stamp because that's sort of like the national term. Food stamp, SNAP, and in Wisconsin it's called food share specifically, I have learned. I'm sort of using them interchangeably. But as far as food share goes, I think so, yes, but I'm not 100% sure. I can look that up and add it to the website.
Okay, thanks.
And that's great if people are already engaging with the ADRC, which a lot of people are. I think when I look at this, the people that I'm most worried about are those people who are isolated, right? So they aren't engaging with the ADRC. They aren't engaging with Extension, unfortunately. They aren't getting other services. And so getting to them, I think, means getting to family members, too, because they might have family members who are engaging with some of these services and can sort of extend that helping hand out to those older adults who might not be engaging in the same way.
You could also engage people or else give information to people through the Meals on Wheels program.
That yes, absolutely. That's a great suggestion, yep. Mm-hmm.
We did this in Taylor County a few years ago because we did a survey at the food pantry to find out who was really coming to the food pantry.
Yeah.
And we found out, of course, that the older adults were not.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the reasons were that at that time they could only get $10 a month. They didn't figure it was worth it to go through all the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And plus the stigma, you know, we knew that. But yeah. Over the years, after some of these, you know, like information going through the seniors meal site newsletters and going out to the Meals on Wheels people, I think we've managed to increase our numbers a little bit. We haven't checked lately, but except by looking to see who goes there, you know, we can see that there seems to be some increase in the food pantry and also some increase in the food stamps. But basically, they're not going to go through all that paperwork for $10.
Yeah, yeah. And it sounds like you were able to make a dent in that just by doing some additional outreach, right? Some coordinated outreach
right.
with some of your partners. Yeah.
And the partners were doing it too. It wasn't, in fact, I didn't do much. We were just as a group got together and say, hey, maybe we could do this.
Right.
And, I know that the amount of money, the smallest amount of money that they get has gone up. But it was a hard sell to try to explain to them that, especially with these new cards, you could accumulate it over a couple months if you wanted to, and then you'd have more than $10.
Right. Right.
So,
and I'm not as knowledgeable as I probably should be about how this works in Wisconsin. I know in some places they have to report back, they have to basically redo the application or a portion of the application every month or quarterly. To prove their income again. And I don't know if we have anyone from Foodwise on the phone, but is that how it is?
Stepped out, and I've often helped a few people still, but yes, it is quarterly, and there is the availability for them to call if they do it in a timely manner. But the biggest setback that I have seen is that it is such a small amount of money, even if they have a very low fixed income, it's a very minimal amount, and I've heard them say many times that sometimes they just don't think it's worth it.
Right, right. And I wonder if you said, I'm going to hand you $10 for filling out this form, if people would be like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I mean, I wonder if some of it is
right.
thinking about the way that they're thinking about it, you know, if it felt more immediate, maybe there would be a different response. But I bet if you said, here, I'm going to hand you $10, or I mean $30, right, because it's quarterly, so I'll hand you $30 to fill out this survey or this online form, they would probably do it. But it doesn't feel that way when it's
right.
when it's $10 a month and when it's not being handed to them directly in that same way. Yeah. So do you feel like when you are working with people, do you feel like this is information that would be surprising to, say, the people in your Strong Women and Strong Bones classes? And is it something that you think would be useful for them? Or do you think that this is something that they would just totally not be interested in?
That kind of depends on the area of the county or who's in the class. You know, our fees are so low for Strong Bones that anybody would come, and you just don't know who would come for $20 or $25. You know what I mean?
And, right, right.
We don't care when they come to Strong Bones what income they are, so, and it's very hard to know.
Sure.
So,
sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, that class would be hard for me to know. I just don't know because.
Yeah.
A couple of the classes that are all retired people, you might think about it, but they probably know, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my thought on that was that in order to get this information to people who need it, it might mean getting it to people who don't need it, right? So people who are younger or people who aren't living under the poverty line, but maybe don't know what a problem this is in their community. And maybe getting the knowledge spread that way would have sort of a trickle-down effect to help the older adults who actually do need this. You know, if they learn this in one of your classes and then they go on to other groups that they work with and their friends and they're talking about it, maybe that would help to just increase awareness and sort of overcome some of those enabling barriers that people have to signing up for these things. But maybe I'm wrong about that. I mean, that's just a shot in the dark. I don't know.
Well, it did work a little bit, you know, when we finally were able to get some of the seniors to come or the older adults to come to the food pantry. That's also a place where they give out that information.
Yeah.
I hope they give out that information. But it certainly would be a place where they could. But it was a struggle to get them to come to the food pantry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going on there. So.
Yep. There's a lot of overlapping issues. Mm-hmm.
Well, in Green Bay, we have the program Double the Box. So sometimes, you know, people refer that they're receiving only $10. So I always tell them, you know, you can convert those $10 in $20 in the farmer's market. So that's kind of, you know, thinking that how they can stretch their dollars. So it's an incentive to make magic with that. No way.
Yep. Absolutely. That's great.
Which county was that?
Brown County.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure, I know there's a lot of other counties that do that as well. I don't know how often that happens throughout Wisconsin, but I know there are other counties who do that farmer's market doubling too.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts from folks on this? All right. Well, I will just end by saying that I hope this was useful and informative. I, like I was saying at the beginning, picked this because that 80% number really shocked me. And this idea that it was the enabling characteristics, the things that are barriers to people, rather than the need that people had, that was driving this trend, that was impactful for me. And that to me felt like, well, this is something that the educators should know about, because if it's an awareness and an education and outreach thing, there are going to be educators who see this need and are going to find it useful. So that's why I wanted to present this to you. I hope it was useful. And if this is interesting, we can continue this conversation as well. I'm just realizing that I did not pick my topic for next week or for next month. But we will make sure that you guys get an email about what next month's topic will be, and some additional information on that. And that will be coming up as usual the first Friday in November. Last chance for any comments or questions. All right, then I will thank everyone for your time. I hope that this was a nice little break in your day, and I will talk to you all very soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kermit.